convey my delegation's gratitude to the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights for convening this very important seventh session of the open-ended intergovernmental working group on transnational corporations and other business enterprises with respect to human rights. I also take this opportunity, Chairperson, to convey our most profound congratulations to you, my dear brother Ambassador Izquierdo, on your assumption of the chairpersonship of our working group. Chairperson, South Africa welcomes and notes with appreciation the third revised text. While some improvements have been made on earlier drafts of the treaty, there still remain key areas in need of strengthening to ensure that the language and text of the treaty is effective enough to address the various areas of corporate abuses and violations experienced globally and especially in the developing South. In this regard, my delegation strongly supports the continuation of the existing process and refinement of the third revised draft, and thanks the Chairperson for charting the way forward with the shared modalities. South Africa remains committed to the letter and spirit of Resolution 26/9. The critical component of the mandate of the resolution is to effectively close the current gaps and the void in international human rights and humanitarian law relating to unregulated operational activities of TNCs and OBEs, which by design are transnational in character. The key objective is to provide, as a law of last resort, effective legal remedies for the victims of grave violations of human rights and fundamental freedoms committed by these entities. Victims of transnational corporate abuses and violations face specific obstacles in accessing effective remedies. There is thus no reason why the general rules of international law should not apply to all actors, states as well as TNCs and OBEs alike. International law imposes certain duties on international cooperation. This is a fundamental issue to be addressed by the envisaged treaty, which will ensure access to remedy, addressing jurisdiction issues, the challenges of transnational litigation, and mutual legal assistance are all important areas that this process must address. The absence of regulatory and enforcement frameworks in certain countries will make it increasingly difficult to enforce the provisions of the treaty and holding TNCs and OBEs accountable. Chairperson, the treaty process can no longer be viewed as anti-business. Globally, a new generation of investment policies is emerging, pursuing a development agenda with the aim of balancing the rights and obligations of states and investors. These policies seek to attract investment while at the same time contributing to a sustainable business development environment. Without any doubt, the respect for human rights standards by TNCs and OBEs will ensure that these entities enjoy greater certainty, predictability, and consistency with regards to their operations and profit making. A global standard will ensure that their responsibilities are clear, unambiguous, and indeed that a level playing field is established. Chairperson, there have been various attempts to regulate the sphere of business and human rights. These have, however, been in the form of non-binding soft law. which does not provide a legal framework that is enforceable and uniform. Nor do they provide legal certainty and redress to victims. In our view, this shortcoming can only be addressed through a legally binding instrument applicable to all, and this will enforce or reinforce non-binding frameworks. Many TNCs and OBEs have claimed to be conducting themselves responsibly and within the prescribed domestic legislation when doing business in foreign jurisdictions. These entities should therefore not be opposing this treaty, but embracing it, since it will be confirming what they've already been enforcing in their day-to-day operations. We're encouraged by countries like France and Germany, who have introduced a due diligence law, while others like the UK, Australia have come up with new legislations which require their companies to report on the risks of modern slavery in their operations and supply chains, and on actions to address those risks. Indeed, as the EU representative has indicated earlier in his statement, we take note with appreciation the initiatives that the EU has taken in creating a regional mandatory human rights due diligence framework. We hope that these developments will be an example for all, and indeed set a new trend that will lead towards this envisioned treaty. In conclusion, my delegation looks forward to engaging constructively on the text-based negotiations on the third revised draft text with a view to strengthening the instrument for the benefit of all, and most importantly, the victims. I thank you, Chairperson.